It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The 1915 Spoon River Anthology is an interconnected series of poems told from the perspective of the deceased. It was the masterwork of the great Illinois writer Edgar Lee Masters and begins with a verse called The Hill. Where are Elmer, Herman, Bert, Tom, and Charlie? The weak of will, the strong of arm, the clown, the boozer, the fighter. All are sleeping on the hill. One passed in a fever, one was burned in a mine, one was killed in a brawl, one died in a jail, one fell from a bridge, toiling for children and wife. All are sleeping, sleeping, sleeping on the hill. Masters spent most of his childhood in the Illinois towns of Petersburg and Lewiston, and walking through Oak Hill Cemetery in Lewiston, you can see many of the names of the characters from Spoon River, sleeping, sleeping, sleeping on the hill. That's just one of several interesting stops on a tour of Illinois cemeteries recommended by my next guest. By day, John Kokoris works in marketing for the public library in Hinsdale, but his online persona is Mr. Illinois, and his real passion is being a 21st state enthusiast. He frequently travels Illinois and shares that passion through public library lectures on Illinois travel, history, literature, and more. In order to make our schedules meet, I spoke with John last week. John Kokoris, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
So let's start in Peoria. What sort of cemetery sites do you recommend for us there?
Well, that's a great question. You're kind of starting with one of my all-time favorites, and I'll admit this was not on my radar until I started to put this cemetery lecture together for the fall. But a lot of people told me to check out Springdale Cemetery, and I'm a lover of every part of Illinois. I love Peoria, but I have to admit that Chicago snob in me thought, really? Like, this is the top cemetery in the state? some of my online friends. But so I budgeted a half hour to just check it out, and I ended up spending 3 hours there at Springdale Cemetery. It's just like a fantastic example of the peak of that rural cemetery movement that characterized kind of mid to late 1800s cemeteries. Just a sprawling piece of land with hills, a little babbling brook, a prairie in the middle of it, and some of the more like kind of unique artistic flourishes on some of these mausolea. They have a tradition of like painting doors on the mausoleums there, and just a really incredible place to wander around.
When you visit a cemetery, are you doing a lot of research ahead of time to sort of get an idea of notable people you may want to visit their graves when you're going there? Are you primarily interested in architecture? Do you just show up? How does your process work?
I think over my travels, I mainly haven't done much research. I'm wandering around. I'm stopping wherever looks interesting. And as I've been giving these library lectures, I've had to kind of step up my research. So this past summer, I revisited a lot of my favorite cemeteries and did a ton of research. And I feel like that really enhances your enjoyment and understanding of the place if you have the time to do that.
So Springdale Cemetery, how do you go about visiting? Do you park? Do you walk? Are you driving around?
I'm a step counter, so I get out and walk as much as I can. But that particular day, I got like 25,000 steps. So that shows you what a good cemetery can do for your health. But the thing that's nice about visiting cemeteries is they have a grid of paved roads. So if you're not necessarily as mobile, you can still kind of get an enjoyable visit out of them.
All right. So from Springdale in Peoria, we can head over to the Dixon Mounds Museum. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm stretching the definition of a cemetery by including that on my quintessential cemeteries of Illinois list. But that's an old Native American burial mound. I believe it's a part of the Mississippian culture from, you know, roughly about 1,000 years ago. And a chiropractor by the name of Don Dixon owned that mound and built a little museum on top of it, started charging admission for people to come kind of like just look at exposed skeletons that he excavated, and I think in some cases even posed. So it's kind of a grim somewhat disrespectful way of exhibiting remains, human remains. But since then, the state of Illinois has gotten involved. There's some federal protections for burial sites. They've kind of cleaned up their act, and it's just a great museum on top of this mound, where you can learn about people who lived in Illinois before any sort of recorded history was happening. So it's a really cool museum with a bit of controversial history that I always like to explore. Although, again, I do kind of support the direction we're headed with regard to Native American remains.
Yeah, and repatriating some of those that were in the possession of the State Museum, I know. I'm sure we have at least one listener who will be glad you mentioned this one, because as Paul in Urbana sent us a text message who thought we should talk about the unmarked graves of slaves worked to death in lead mines of Galena or coal mines of southern Illinois. Then there's those of uncounted Native Americans. He mentions the executed of the Black Hawk War were counted, but where they were interned. And it is, like you said, this is not something that is, you know, some people may remember visiting this site as a school child. I know I have family members from that part of the state who did that when they were young. Those exhibits are not as, you know, public as they once were.
Right. They've closed off the burial site completely, and they've removed a lot of the funereal artifacts from the displays, but they still do a really good job interpreting that history, and they've got the other great artifacts there. In fact, when I was at that museum, two people were complaining to the curator that they came there expecting to see bones, and where did they go? And they got a nice little lesson in the NAGPRA law that prohibits that sort of thing. But
Native
yeah, but Paul
American,
had
yeah,
some,
repatriation,
yeah,
yeah.
exactly. It's some great points, and in fact, with regard to the Black Hawk War, Chief Black Hawk, there's dispute about where his remains are, if they're even extant anymore. Although there's a great little site, Black Hawk State Forest in Rock Island, with a statue of him. His remains aren't there, but it's a good way to pay tribute to him and remember his story.
So I mentioned our texting group. Let me just throw out to listeners, because John and I taped this conversation in advance. We're not taking calls for this part of the show, but we do often when we do that, we will still send a message to people in our texting group, so you can still participate. You can join that by sending the word talk, TALK, to 217-803-0730. Again, text talk to 217-803-0730. And we also heard from Helen in Springfield, who says, Spoon River, a book by Edgar Lee Masters, an Illinois author. It features the quote unquote voices of various townspeople speaking from the grave. She says that may fit into your episode in an interesting way. Just a thought. Title of the book is Spoon River Anthology. This is on your list as well, isn't it, John?
Yes, yeah, great recommendation. That's one of my top two kind of October reads for Illinois history buffs. If you haven't read Spoon River, it used to be, I think, kind of ubiquitous required reading, but very few people these days are picking it up. But it's a great book, very moving. One like note about its place in history: it's from 1915, and Masters, who grew up in Petersburg, Central Illinois, he was like writing this beautiful book portraying the lives of townspeople in this fictional town of Spoon River. And he was portraying how kind of complicated and nuanced and passionate their lives were, at a time when there was this kind of emerging sense among the cities that city life was kind of the pinnacle of civilization. And they were kind of starting to look down on, well, on places like Central Illinois. So Masters wrote this book in part to kind of push back and say, no, rural America, Illinois, you know, small towns in Illinois are every bit as interesting and complicated as big cities. So you can actually go see the cemetery that inspired the book, Oak Hill, right outside of Lewistown. And a lot of the people in Masters's book were very, very closely based on real people, or even shared their names. So the book, I think, was actually banned from the local library in Lewistown. But they came around to it, as it was, you know, it's probably made their little cemetery one of the most famous cemeteries in the world for several decades.
Challenged books, even then, some things never change. I'll share another message from Sarah in Bloomington, who says, "The final resting place of Dorothy Louise Gage, the little girl who was the niece of L. Frank Baum, is in Evergreen Memorial Cemetery in Bloomington, Illinois. Dorothy died as a 5-month-old infant, and Baum honored her by naming the main character in his book, The Wizard of Oz, after her." Let me ask you, John, what do you get out of visiting cemeteries as opposed to, you know, historical monuments, state parks, other types of places you visit?
Well, a couple things. One is often they're very scenic, beautiful, natural places. And, you know, as you know, not to knock on central Illinois at all, but there aren't any big, you know, national parks or national forests in the middle of our state. So it's just a good way to see nature. In fact, there's some original kind of pieces, remnant pieces of our prairie from the time of settlement that are basically undisturbed because these pioneers buried their loved ones on little patches of land and then didn't plow it up, didn't build anything on there for hundreds of years. So it's a great place to see nature. Also a great place to kind of hear stories that otherwise maybe are forgotten by the larger tides of history. If you're lucky enough to be able to go on a tour or see like a living history portrayal in a cemetery, it's just a great way to learn a little bit more detail about a place. I'll give you one example. I was on a tour of Rose Hill Cemetery up in Chicago, and they have little companies of Civil War soldiers that all decided to be buried together. These are people who didn't necessarily die in the war, but became friends and agreed, let's buy a plot together. So you can like see a group of clerks from the Board of Trade that all are buried together. And you just kind of get a different glimpse, a much more kind of individual and intimate look at life and what gives it meaning when you're at a cemetery.
Oh, now you're making me think of the Museum of Funerary Customs, the departed, no longer with us. They used to be in Springfield. All right, we're running out of time, so I do want to be sure to touch on Ann Rutledge. We also heard from Terry in Batavia, who said she visited this Ann Rutledge's grave a couple of years ago, said by some to be Lincoln's first love. Small graveyard in Menard County, only accessible through private farmland. Yes, we had permission, she adds. It was a beautiful day, peaceful. Had a feeling of linking with the past.
Yeah, I'm so glad you got that comment. That was on my most recent cemetery expedition of putting this lecture together. I was trying to make sure I got to that original resting place of Ann Rutledge. The cemetery she's at now in Petersburg is quite nice. There are some friends of Lincoln buried there. And the town of Petersburg is just fantastic. A beautiful little courthouse square and coffee shop. But yeah, you got to really trust your GPS and your instincts to find the original resting place. And I had not quite finished doing my research. That was the last stop on my expedition, and I was getting very frustrated. The sun was going down. I saw storm clouds on the horizon, a great late July prairie thunderstorm rolling in, and I was starting to freak out because I was just circling around and around looking for this cemetery, Old Concord Cemetery. But finally, I abandoned my car and kind of waded through the grass and found it. And the marker there where Anne was first buried just portrays it as the place where Lincoln wept. And it was just so kind of moving and emotional as a Lincoln fan who's familiar with that chapter of his life. To imagine, you know, Abe Lincoln in his 20s, basically a nobody, you know, early term state legislator, just kind of grieving this lost love of his who died very young of typhoid fever. Just a must see spot for any Lincoln enthusiasts.
Well, I think that's a lovely note on which to end this conversation. We didn't even get to the Lincoln Tomb, which probably speaks for itself. Oak Ridge Cemetery, worth a visit. Maybe we'll have to talk about that another time. John Koukouras, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on the 21st show.
Thanks, Brian.
John has upcoming cemetery lectures Saturday at the Chicago Public Library, Walker Branch in Morgan Park, Sunday at the River Forest Public Library, and next Thursday at the Ela Area Public Library in Lake Zurich. You can also find John on Blue Sky and Twitter as Mr. Illinois. We'll have links to all that on our website, 21stshow.org. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about an effort to get rid of geese in a humane way and how that's been working for the Parks Department in one Illinois city. Plus, anthropologist Sergio Lemus worked with Mexican immigrant landscapers throughout Chicagoland in order to better tell their stories. His new book is Los Yarderos. That's coming up tomorrow on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.